Item number 23, please.
Item number 23, from the Deputy Director, Department of Human Resources, submitting an informational report relative to reclassification of existing positions, advancement within the pay range, reallocations of non-represented positions, and all revisions to executive compensation plan positions. Recommendations to be implemented unless supervisors object.
Supervisor Cullen.
Oh, well, Mr. Chair, I had been looking over this, and there was one item that we laid over last meeting, and I can't find it in the report, so I don't really know if it's here. I think it was some DOS positions. Is it in item 23, and I'm not finding it?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, we presented our regular monthly report. Items carried over from the committee from prior months would be, I guess, under the control of the board to present if they're carried over. We can try to pull it up right here and take a look at it. I can maybe verbally describe those
items.
Well,
it wouldn't properly be before us then, right? Because we didn't notice it. Correct?
It's not before us. I mean, the point is, I think what the supervisor is getting at is that that item should have been a part of this report, and it's not. So, at least with respect to transparency, and there's a debate as to whether or not we have some say-so as policymakers, or we don't, which is another issue, I should say. But nevertheless, it's not on this list.
Understand.
And because it's not on this list, and we're not acting upon it because we pulled that particular item out, then it looks as if the only thing we can do is just lay that item over and look toward the next cycle. I mean, I heard what you said with respect to looking at something, but...
Mr. Chairman, I understand that position. For next month, would you prefer that we include it in the monthly report, or would you prefer that it come as its own agenda item as a laid-over matter?
Well, it can happen that way, but And I believe the supervisor's position... Well, I'll let the supervisor speak.
Well, I guess that can be decided at a later point. I mean, I don't know if it was just sort of a... I'm not laying blame at anybody's feet because I think maybe you guys thought it would come from the committee clerks from us. We thought it'd be part of item 23. It was some sort of snag, and it's not here. Okay. So I guess the other question I have is, what is the practical effect of it not being here? I assume that any such pay raise that was requested is not going into effect. Am I correct in that,
Mr. Session?
Well, in terms of the way the committee has traditionally operated, I would assume that that's accurate. In the post-Act 14 world, that's a question that's an open question, as far as I understand it.
Well, who can answer whether or not it's going to go into effect or not? I mean, because we are post-Act 14.
Correct.
So is the one that we held over this? I mean, and I don't want to get into personal names, and it's not anything about any particular person. Is there... I mean, the comptroller, did he leave? Because he's the payroll guy. Do they expect that this person will be getting a pay increase of up to $12,000 without any board
review.
Notice or review or any action? Somebody answer that?
I can take a stab at it. I talked with you each a little bit briefly about the Act 14 piece and that we're trying to get our heads around how to interpret that. And had some conversation with Corp Counsel to try and understand when it comes to these items, you know, will the committee members have an opportunity to object or vote on these items moving forward in accordance with, you know, the way this looks. So right now the opinion that I'm understanding is that the committee would not have the opportunity to object to items coming forward. That's something I think we should hear from Corp Counsel directly. I'm not an attorney, but that's my understanding of it. Now, given that, I think we would go back, you know, in our HR process, we would look at that study that we did, as well as the other ones in here, and we would make those decisions moving forward, and we just continue to report whatever it is you want to see. But again, you know, I'd prefer to have the legal opinion brought forward rather than me telling you, you know, how I'm understanding it.
Director, and you were at the meeting that Supervisor Cullen and I attended,
oh,
and
mm-hmm.
with Deputy Corporation Counsel Mark Grady, and I vehemently expressed my opinion with respect to what I looked at as transparency. Now, if the position was that this board has cannot vote on such an item, then fine. If that's what Act 10, Act 14 provides for, fine. But as far as we know, there's been some discussion between councils, and I don't think a resolution has occurred. Our point with respect to what I'm looking at as the chair of this committee as it relates to this particular item is that the report that we have received as committee members does not have that particular item on that, does not particularly have that particular position on it, I should say. And because that particular position is not on that, what we don't want to see happen as policymakers, at least what this policymaker does not want to see, and as chair of the committee today, is that there's a passive process by which the raise is given, but somehow there's no transparency as it relates to the item being presented, as it was pulled out at some particular point in the past. What I said earlier is I do not want a shadow government. I do not want a secret government. This committee is made up of people who have been elected by persons in their districts, and we want transparency. So that's my position as chair of this committee. And so if someone wants to speak to what I just said, so we can go forward. As it relates to this particular item, then
I mean, just to recollect where we were a month ago for people who are new to this or watching a streaming video, or we had a situation where a department head asked for someone's salary to be raised from approximately $80,000 to $92,000. Well, it was 78 to 92, but I think they were getting the 1.5% bump anyway, so we'll just round it up. We had some discussion given the fiscal affairs of the county and other employees not getting those kind of raises. If that was appropriate, we held it over. In the interim, then Act 14 became law, and there is some discussion as to whether or not we have the ability to do anything. One school of thought says, well, this is a personnel day-to-day decision, and we have no authority. Another side that could be argued is that we appropriate money. Act 14 didn't change the county board's ability to appropriate money to be spent by the county. And so I would not be happy if this item did not come before us and then to find out that this person's a great person doing a great job, that this person got this raise without any further discussion, because the issue of what our authority is in this area has not been determined. Act 14 was written rather clumsily. If you read it, there's a lot of things open to interpretation, among them this type of thing. So we're going to have this type of issue going forward as we begin to interpret it. So I wish the comptroller was here so he could answer whether or not this person, what's this person's situation on the payroll would be. Is he here now?
Yes,
oh, was he here all the time? Hiding back there?
He was behind.
You're trying to stay.
I didn't see you there, Mr. Manns.
Are you supervisor? Are you finished?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's my direct question, Mr. Mansky. You know what we're talking about. Would you anticipate that this person's status on the payroll will change?
Director Mansky.
Well, just to kind of tell you, we create a separation of duties in the county between the entry of pay into the system and the payment of pay. So my office is responsible for paying people. Human Resources is responsible for entering the pay changes in, because we don't want to have our office entering in a pay change and then, you know, paying the people for that amount. It creates a separation of duties. If Human Resources enters in a pay change and those types of things, it's our assumption that they have made the changes into the system and have followed the rules. We verify the dollar amounts in some cases where we will look back and we will look at the amounts that are there for those types of things. I mean, we would be looking for if they enter in a change to the pay of the system. Our assumption is that they're following the rules. If it's a large issue, we will verify the dollar amounts, you know, for example, for the furlough payment, for other types of things, for back pay, we always go through that verification. I would be looking for, just regarding this matter, I would be looking for a legal interpretation, you know, just regarding, you know, what happens now.
Well, Mr. Chair, I guess, you know, I don't know exactly what we're hearing from Director Mitchell, except that she seems to plan to go forward with it. And I'm disappointed that the item isn't before us today, because I wouldn't support that level of increase for one employee in the county at this particular time. And if the county executive and his department heads want to take the position that they can now grant whatever, 14% pay raises to people without any public input as a result of Act 14, that's their position. And that may be the new law that they created. I think in this case it's a bad law, and we shouldn't be doing that. But so I guess I would ask Director Mitchell specifically, do you anticipate that this person, without any action by this committee today or in the coming weeks, will get this pay raise without any further discussion?
Director Mitchell.
Thank you, Chairman, Supervisors. I would personally like to take a look at it. I was actually I was not at the last meeting, so all of the discussion that took place, I haven't actually heard it. So I'd like to go back and listen to that, look at the data. Rick was here. I was out of town. And then make a decision at that time. But if the legal opinion is that these items can't be objected to and whatnot, what I would envision for this one and others is that we would go through our compensation process, the rigor we put around the studies that we do. We'd make our decisions, and we continue to report out, in the interest of transparency, anything that you want to see. For me, the transparency and the information, that's the easy part. And I would never keep, you know, secrets or create a shadow government or anything of that kind. But with regard to this individual one, I would certainly take another look at it, and then we'd make a decision from there. That's how I would.
And, Director, I would ask, when you make a decision, what are you going to do about that decision? Are you going to inform the board of that decision? Is effective as of when, as of a particular time? Because when I said shadow government, secret government, I'm not playing. This is a democracy. And even if we have no say-so as it relates to voting on this particular matter, it should be on an agenda, and we should discuss it. And whatever said is said, even though we may not have any say-so, that we may not have any vote on it, then it is what it is. But as Supervisor Cullen has intimated before, we don't know that that is the case, that for what you at least told us during that meeting that we had, that it may be, it may not be, and that's something that the attorneys have to work out. But I just want to know, as chair of this committee on this day, I want to know whether or not, after your review, how are you going to notify, or when you're going to notify, what you're going to do as it relates to deciding when this person is going to get paid. Because Comptroller Mansky has indicated that if this decision is made, then it goes to his office, mm-hmm. as it has the payroll functions, and this person would get the increase in pay. So mm-hmm. That's my question.
Thank you. To answer you then, including this particular scenario, any pay increases that we're doing or this type of activity will continue to report out. So unless you decide you want something different, but we'll continue to provide you the same reports. We're not going to give anyone a pay increase and then sneak it off a report. I mean, any time there's an increase, if that's what you want to be seeing, that's what you'll see.
Well, this,
and this particular one would be included if we were to process it. Yes.
Because, ma'am, it looks as if that could happen. That's why, you know, we can interpret whatever we can interpret. We just don't see it on the report. And that was the point that's being made at this particular time. Mr. Session.
Mr. Chairman, the positions laid over from last cycle those raises have not gone through. They are not in HBW yet. Under our current rules that we've been operating under, the changes that are recommended in this particular report are implemented the beginning of the pay period following this committee meeting because of that passive review process. So when they go through the committee, then they're approved, and then they go into HBW, then we process them. So in the case of the ones that you're talking about here, they've been pulled out, and you're going to act on those separately, and we're not doing anything until we hear about that. With regard to transparency, really quickly, Mr. Chairman, the rules that we have that are on the books, the ordinances that we operate under, you can follow any position action based on what's already in the books and what's on the rules. So in other words, when you create a position, as you did today, for instance, you created a couple of positions in the comptroller's office.
Yes.
You establish a pay grade for those positions, and that there are rules about how that position is paid, where they start, how they advance, and how that's reported. So transparency is built into the system, and we would continue to honor that. And obviously, we respect that transparency as well.
Dr. Colton.
Chairman, from my understanding, every other layover, when the board votes on a layover, the committee clerk adds that to the next month's agenda. So I'm not sure why that didn't happen this month. That's, I guess, my first comment. Secondly, last month you did approve, or 2 months ago you approved a 13% increase to a couple of positions. So I just want to add that also.
Thank you. Mr. Cady, then Supervisor Schmidt.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to clarify on some of the layover of the positions. It's somewhat out of the ordinary. We do the exceptions on the information reports. I think Mr. Session and I were talking about the process a couple months ago about how we held those out and did that as a separate resolution at one point that went to the board. We saw that. But on the ones that were laid over in the past, I'm pretty sure we've had ones and they've been put forward again on the next month's personnel report. I'm going to find that example. So I think it's been done a couple different ways, and I apologize from staff standpoint if there was that it was supposed to be us doing it, but we've always seen it just being represented again. And again, we should have caught that it wasn't on a list, but we've been a little bit out of sorts for the last couple of weeks leading
right.
up.
We should have caught that at agenda setting and made that correction at that point. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you. My first question would be, we've had very little power in this area to start with. I mean, who's kidding who? All the stuff goes into effect unless we object. And, we have to dig. I mean, to see all those reports on all these pages or on the computer and trying to figure out here and this, and this one's advancement of pay, and this is getting 10 to, it's a nightmare. Okay, I said this for years. Okay, and we've trusted that HR is looking out for the best interests of everybody. But and I'll direct this to the director, since she's the appointee. Have you ever so far not gone along with the raise you got from a department or from the county executive? Have you ever said no?
Yes, absolutely.
You have?
Yes, we've modified some of them. We've reduced some. And that's the responsibility. Our team takes it seriously, and I think it might be helpful to some of you if you're interested in if we spend some more time walking through and helping you understand the compensation process. It's compared to a year ago where we are today, the amount of rigor and the amount of focus we put into that, we don't rubber stamp anything, and so I can assure you of that.
Okay, yeah. I appreciate that. Because I just thought it was pretty much if the department has it in their budget, and that's your main criteria, is it not, though?
No.
If the department can cover this in their budget,
but
that's a criteria you have to follow. If they don't have it in their budget, you can't give it then. Is that correct?
I would agree that, yes, that is a criteria. But for me, the first step is analyzing the job and looking at the equity and looking at comparable positions.
Okay.
And then we also then look at the budget.
Okay,
after that.
All right, but if we wouldn't have dug into some things, unfortunately, and some things were red flagged, I mean, you know, this whole thing got off to a bad start in many ways, unfortunately, with the board and the county executive. We had, you know, the one person in county executive making $20,000 more, okay? And then we talked, and I even had to bring it up, which I didn't like to do, but, you know, I mean, you have a handbook coming out now, and we talk about fairness, and we got county executives, you know, and I'm sorry, but I think it's a real issue. That's what makes it hard for us. We got county executives with zero budget. People are fighting for raises, okay? We're agonizing over 1.5% to give to people, and some people get 12%, 14%, 15%. I mean, what's the story on that? Then why do we even have, you know, raises? Then, you know, and the county, I mean, people who are close to the county executive, they've been getting the ones who substantial raises. As everybody, I thought Mr. Fudge, I thought our understanding was that he would maybe come back and make a compromise here. And I read something from him, too. They said maybe instead of 12, it could be 8. And, you know, these people work hard. We understand people in these positions, in your positions, maybe put in terrific hours. You're probably not compensating what you should get, okay? But how do we work on fairness? How do we talk about these things? Because, you know, the county executive is close. You're close. Mr. Fudge, you're close to those people. You came up the hard way, too. You worked hard. You worked long hours, like in CPA offices and in law offices. You put those terrific hours in, and then finally you get your raises. But this isn't the private sector, okay? We got taxpayers paying for all this. And so you're close. I see the guy working, you know, so hard. What about the people? I don't care what position we're talking about, okay? In all these different areas, they're working hard too, and their bosses seem working hard too, and they get a 1% raise. You know, I know nothing's perfect, and I learned a very hard lesson very early on in my political career here, and I tried to be fair to everybody in negotiations. You can't be fair to everybody, because if you want to raise, I know, the beginning people, then the people at the top of the scale don't get the same percentage, and they're bent out of shape. It happened to all the deputy sheriff stuff, okay? And sometimes you got to pay people more in the beginning, and sometimes you got to give people raises at the end to make it fair. It's impossible always to make it fair. But somehow, and I've always trusted that you're looking at things like you're telling me, okay? But we're the ones who have found out. I mean, if we wouldn't have dug in and wouldn't have been, you know, talked about, how do you find those things? You know, I don't know who's getting 12 or 13% and what's going on, but all I know is that, you know, we agonize, and the county executive berates us after last budget because we need to give another 1.5%, okay? But we're the tax raisers. He goes out and says, well, I zeroed everything out. You're the guys who gave everybody raises. And you're giving raises, people, 12, 13, 14%. I don't think that's right. I'm done.
Thank you, Supervisor. Dr. Colton, then Supervisor Stamper. We'll wrap this up pretty soon.
I just want to restate that 2 months ago you gave 13% raises, I believe it was to the comptroller's office, without asking one question. So the only thing I can conclude is that this is about Act 14 and county executive, because there was never any question asked before.
That's baloney.
Dr. Colton, Dr. Colton, we're elected officials. We're elected officials. We sit on committees. We have the right and responsibility to ask questions as it relates to anybody's raise. Any particular raise. This is not, in my opinion, this is not an Act 14 item. This is just part of our review responsibilities, and that's basically what we're doing. And as Supervisor Schmidt just indicated, for a 1.5% increase across the board for everybody, it's different when people are getting raises of as you intimated. As it relates to those other positions, this is another position that came that was pulled out after those positions. So it's more in terms of the increased percentage of the further increase in the raise as opposed to an Act 14 application. That's just my opinion. Again, we're elected officials and we have the right to ask questions. Supervisor Roma West.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Stamper, then Supervisor Roma.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Back to back to Supervisor Cullen's question. I want to know, moving forward, is this a passive review based on what Act 14 has implemented, or do we have the authority to approve or deny these type of requests? I don't know the answer to that.
Supervisor, in my opinion, I think that the attorneys are going to come, are going to inform us as to where we are in that. They've been talking to each other, and the resolution will be forthcoming.
Resolution for what?
Resolution as it relates to whether the item that is before us is just a passive review, or whether we have the right to vote, pull out, and eventually vote on an increase. We'll see. The attorneys, I believe, have not resolved that. It's something that's going to be forthcoming.
That's been a request already?
The attorneys are talking among themselves. Mr. Grady, did you want to?
Can I ask how you know that information? Because I've
asked about it. Others have asked about this an item like this because we want clarification as to what we can do as it relates to the passage and the signing of Act 14. We want clarification. Whatever the rules are, we just want to make sure we understand what the rules are.
Right. And how long does that take? That's what I'm trying to. That should be able to be answered. Especially if you already put the request in.
These discussions have been ongoing for a number
can
of
we,
weeks.
It's just, can we do it or not? That's all.
Mr. Grady. Thank you, Mr. Grady.
Mr. Chairman, Mark Grady, Acting Corporation Counsel. Just to reiterate the comments that you just made, Chair, I have had, at least one conversation on this particular topic with Attorney Hawks, who is the counsel to the board on Act 14. We've had conversations on other topics as well, but on this topic, we had a conversation earlier this week. I relayed to him my opinion, and he indicated he was going to look at it. He hasn't given me a response yet on whether he agrees or disagrees. And so I know what my opinion is, which has been expressed to the administration, that Act 14 prohibits the county board committees from taking any action on these items, but they are fully entitled to see the information. But Mr. Hawks hasn't indicated whether he agrees or disagrees with that opinion yet, and so that's, I think, where the board is. They're waiting for Mr. Hawks.
Is that satisfactory?
Yeah, it is. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Grady.
Thank you.
Supervisor Romo West, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to take this opportunity to remind people that the situation with the comptroller's office was that we were creating his staff because he's a newly elected official. So it wasn't as if these people have, they may have worked under him, but he's, as a newly elected official, has the right to come and bring forth whatever staff he wants the same way the county executive does. And so that's comparing apples to oranges. That's not what was before us. And I think it's completely unfair that every time there's a disagreement that we're going to have Fact 14 thrown in our face. I have worked, I have been on this county board for 9 years and sat here and had the pension thrown in my face all of that time, and all of a sudden that's been replaced by Act 14, and I'm not going to stand for that. So, you know, not everything that you do. I went to the bathroom earlier. That had nothing to do with Act 14. You know, you gave us a lunch break, nothing to do with Act 14. I really wish that people could remain respectful. And, you know, we have legitimate concerns. And some of those concerns have nothing to most of all of our concerns have to do with the fact that we're here to represent the people of Milwaukee County and make the best decisions on their behalf. And is it fair that you would have certain employees who receive 14% raises while other employees receive 1% raises? Obviously, no, it's not. Does that require scrutiny? I would hope so. And I think any reasonable person would think that it does. And so, again, I just want for us, and I had to remind my committee again yesterday, to be respectful of each other. This isn't high school. Let's stop throwing things in our face. You won, you won, you won, yay, you won. We're all happy for you. We're all trying to do the best we can moving forward with the decisions that were made for us and for the people of Milwaukee County. And so let's just move on. And again, it's apples and oranges. Comptroller's office, the comptroller, as a newly elected official, has every right to come in and ask for his staff and to pay his staff what he deems appropriate. And, of course, we supported that because, again, newly elected official, which again was something that wasn't our idea, but was, you know, it happened, and so we made the best of it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor. Keep in mind that for the report that has been presented to us today, those positions will, those reclassifications, advancements within pay range, reallocations, and revisions to executive compensation will go into effect. Possibly. A resolution, I believe they would just go into effect.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about that one particular position, and that was an action that has occurred before this cycle where it was pulled out. Supervisor Lipscomb.
Mr. Chair, just briefly, I think it's counterproductive of the executive staff to make such allegations, and, you know, I suppose the short history maybe provides that erroneous perspective. But if you just go back a little further than 6 months or 9 months, you'd find that the predecessor in the position of county board liaison, there was a great concern about a $10,000 increase there. 20, whatever it was. I mean, substantial increases like that catch people's attention. You know, they catch taxpayers' attention. They catch the committee's attention. Mm-hmm. Similarly, when Sue Black had her second raise inside of a year proposed, the committee had an objection to that. It wasn't an objection to Sue Black. It was an objection mm-hmm. to a substantial increase coming on the heels of a previous raise not long before that. So, it is it's appalling to me that we're going to hear this excuse from county board staff, particularly a staff member who's supposed to be here to try to work with us on stuff and help get things through, rather than try to dig a deeper divide.
Exactly.
And you know, it's more than just one staff member who seems to continue to amp up the rhetoric in a counterproductive fashion. So that was just appalling.
Supervisor Coley.
Yeah, I just, you know, want to set the record straight for Dr. Colton. When her predecessor was requested a raise, I supported that. That had nothing to do with anything. It just thought that she should be compensated the way everybody else in the office was compensated. So we've had these discussions. The only way this relates to Act 14 is whether or not this board has any authority to do anything about it, and that's an open question right now. So this isn't directed at Mr. Fudge, his staff, the Human Resources Director, their staff. This is more a question of where we go from here. So at least that's my perspective. And I guess my one final question on this then, given what Director Mitchell said, I assume that this particular raise that we're talking about will not go into effect until something would come on a similar report in the next cycle. Am I correct on that?
Well, I need to clarify the legal opinion because the way I would envision things going forward potentially is that as my department is, if we're making these compensation decisions as we go, we're making them, acting upon them, and reporting them so that you're aware of them. Now, it sounds like what I'm hearing from you is maybe you'd want the reverse where...
Well, Mr. Sessions just said would go into effect after this meeting.
That's how it has been in the past.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. And that's not your anticipation going forward? Or you don't know?
I don't know, but I would, my preference would be for us to manage through this and continue to report the data out to you if you want to continue having it.
So what's your plan for these specific positions that we're talking about today?
These?
The ones that were laid over from last month that are not on item 23.
Well, the one that we were discussing on Mr. Fudge's team, I again would go back. I'm going to look at the information again and make a decision on what makes sense, and then we would move forward with that.
And then we'd
report it out.
Then would you implement it before you report it out?
Well, that would be my intention unless I get a different opinion on legally how this is supposed to be working.
Okay. So just so that I'm clear and the public's clear, that now the position of the administration is that we can just grant raises as long as there's money in a department budget, anywhere from 1% to 100% if we want to, without the board or the public being made aware of that.
That's what
you're saying.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that we aren't simply approving things because there's money there. That we would never do that. We have a professional compensation team that, you know, it has no problem saying no. So we're going through that process. We're not rubber stamping anything, and we're happy to report out our decisions that we make. So I guess that's what I'm saying.
And Director, I would ask, with respect to the reporting, when would that happen? How would that be done? I've asked that earlier.
However you prefer. We can continue to put them on committee agendas. I could send quarterly reports, monthly reports, whatever you all decide you want. That's what we'll do.
So given that you are going to consult with probably Corporation Counsel's office,
mm-hmm.
then this reporting would be next cycle?
Sure.
Okay. Mr. Session.
Mr. Chairman, just briefly on the report in front of you, this month's report. I just wanted to highlight that a couple of the items that are listed here are the byproduct of our compensation team's countywide compensation review. So this is really among the first of those that are coming before you. And you'll see those sort of cited on the sides as market alignment or equitable due to peer jobs, those sorts of considerations. And I'll also note that you'll see that those positions range from pay grade 901 through pay grade 5P and 6P. So our compensation team is reviewing every position and recommending increases for those positions where it's warranted. These will continue over the next few months to be presented to you as part of the compensation team's review.
Thank you, Mr. Session. And
I have a question on the compensation.
I wouldn't say something first.
Oh, go ahead. I thought you
were. With respect to informing the board, Director Mitchell indicated earlier with respect to there was some information as it relates to the compensation process. It appeared she wanted to share with somebody. I would take that to be this committee, at least this committee, if not the whole board itself. When could such happen?
Sure.
That's my question.
Anyone who's interested, I'd be happy to set up either, one-on-one meetings. We could, invite anyone who's interested into the manager meetings where we launch the process so they can see kind of how everything works. I mean, there are a lot of different ways we can do it. So as soon as anyone's interested, I'm happy to do that.
I would like to be at all. I would like to be invited. Supervisor Cullen.
Mr. Session, thank you. I'm not sure what 901 to 6P means.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was describing the range of
right. I understand
positions
that, but where that is, like who is, like what's the top? What's the top level person?
Well, the highest compensated position is in the medical examiner's office, and mm-hmm. that's what we refer to that as 904.
What is it?
904. So
904.
We have a couple of 900 series positions, and I don't mean to confuse
right.
the committee with a lot of.
So 6P is low. So
correct. 6P
okay.
is
so when
among.
You said I was envisioning 6P being high, but
no, I'm sorry. Our pay grades go from basically 1, which is generally interns, all the way up through 904, which is the medical examiner.
And then at some point we're going to get a full blown compensation study and say this is what all these positions should be, right or not?
Yeah, thanks. What we intend to do is once we get through studying all these positions, we also want to really clean up these pay ranges so they're not so, nobody can understand these pay ranges. So we're going to clean all of that up, and then what we would do is walk through it to make sure everybody understands. And we could train, share it with all of you. We can train managers on it. We'll make sure employees understand it. Because, again, right now, I don't find it very easy to follow.
And if a particular person is above their pay range, what would you envision happening? You're going to red circle them?
Correct. I don't think anybody would be to have their pay cut. They would be red circling.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor, and thank you, Director and Deputy Director. Would anyone else like to comment on this particular item? If not, we will go on to
Mr. Chairman?
Supervisor Haas.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm sorry. What's a red circle?
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, Supervisor. Red circle is if a position is downgraded, you don't cut the pay of the incumbent of that position. That person is circled, and their pay is held steady until the position that their downgraded position elevates back up to catch up with where they are. So if a position was cut 5% and then over the course of time through raises that position is restored the 5%, then the person catches back up to it and then continues again.
So the pay remains the same.
It's frozen.
For the incumbent, yes. But for any new hire, they would come in at the
yeah.
lower pay grade.
Okay, I understand. Thank you.
Consider yourself a red circle.
I am a red circle.
Really? No comment.
Thank you very much. If there are no more other comments on item number 23, item 24, please.
Yeah.